West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 1, Message 2, A Good Conscience. Scripture reading, 1 Timothy 1:19, 3:9, and 1:5.
Everybody that wants to be filled with the triune God, say Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Me too. A huge secret to being filled, meaning overflowing with the triune God, who is our life, is to have a good conscience. A good conscience. In 1 John, which has touched some in this outline, in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, we report to you the eternal life. Brothers and sisters, everybody who has the Son has the life.
Amen.
Everybody that has the Son, say amen.
Amen.
We have the life.
Amen.
But we do not have a life that is stagnant. 1 John 1:3, it says, we have been brought into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, and of the Father, our wonderful Abba Father. This one who is in us as life is the flowing one, is the circulating one, is the filling one. He's the saturating one. But it says in verse 5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So, because God is light, and we, by birth, our natural birth, were born in darkness and in death, we are filled with many things. We need much help. Apart from Christ as our life in our spirit, we need much help to make our being a being of life and a being of light. So because God is light, we get exposed. Many things God cannot justify. Many things we do, we say, actions we take, God has to condemn. Because He is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. But it says in verse 9 of 1 John, if we confess our sins, if we exercise to open to the Lord based upon God's dealing with us in our conscience, then He cleanses us from all sin. He cleanses us. This means that He, when He cleanses us, forgives us, and actually does not even remember what you did. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
In Hebrews 8:12 it says, and their sins and iniquities I will by no means remember forever. Anytime we confess to the Lord, we enjoy the cleansing of His blood. The Lord forgives us. Brother Eric confesses to the Lord something, and the Lord, after the cleansing, says, Eric, I do not remember anything negative about you at all. What can we say about that except, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Well, we have the divine life. This life is in us with all the unsearchable riches of Christ flowing, and this one who is life circulating within us is light. Because He is light, our living is subject to His being, His justifying, His condemning. So that whatever He exposes, we can confess. And as we confess, He cleanses us. What's the result of taking care of the offense in our conscience? Having a good conscience, being cleansed? More life!
Amen.
We started in verse 2 with life! And this life is the flowing, anointing, fellowshipping, wonderful, circulating, all-inclusive Christ as the life-giving Spirit. And this one, as we enjoy Him, is light. And by His light, certain things can be justified, certain things can be condemned. But if we confess our sins, then He is faithful to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the result is more life! So my question initially was, how many of you would like to be filled with the triune God as life? Amen! A big key is having a good conscience. So yesterday morning, brothers and sisters, time period yesterday morning was used for what was titled having an exercise spirit, right? Having an exercise spirit. Today, along with having an exercise spirit, we're in the heavenly gymnasium for 6 days. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Having an exercise spirit, doing heavenly push-ups, heavenly laps, heavenly exercises, curls, whatever, heavenly breathing. We want to have a good conscience, and a good conscience is also included in being exercised in our spirit. This is wonderful. Acts 24:16, brothers and sisters, says, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." So yesterday was on the exercise of the Spirit. Praise the Lord! We don't want to be out of shape. We want to be in spirit, exercised. God didn't give you the spirit of a chicken, but of power, and of love, and of sober-mindedness. Therefore, fan into flame. Keep our being open to Him, turn to Him, touching Him. We want to be exercising our spirit, practicing to be intimate with the Lord every moment. But a big part of this exercise is Acts 24:16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense both toward God and toward man. And if this is the case, brothers and sisters, the result will be more life, more fellowship, more enjoyment of Christ. And the Lord is able to make home in our hearts. So I appreciate so much what you touched yesterday, the exercise of the Spirit. And now we have to realize part of this is to exercise our conscience, to be void of offense toward God and toward man. Now let's come to the outline. The conscience is a function of the human spirit, enabling man to differentiate between right and wrong, to know what God justifies and what He condemns, and to represent God in ruling over us. Just look for a moment at Romans 2:15. Romans 2:15. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. Their conscience bearing witness with it, and their reasonings, one with another, accusing or even excusing them. So it's by the conscience that we know God's justifying and we know God's condemning. By the conscience, we're able to know, differentiate between right and wrong. The conscience, brothers and sisters, is the gateway and the entrance to our spirit. Our spirit has three main parts. The leading part is our conscience. And then our fellowship. And then our intuition. But the entrance, the gateway, the key to the fellowship, to the intuition, to absolutely being one with the Lord, is our conscience. Because our conscience is the gateway and the entrance to the Spirit. God in Himself is righteous. He's righteousness, He's holiness, and He's glory. So, brothers and sisters, our conscience helps us to line up with who God is. He's the righteous God. He's the holy God. He's the God of glory. Our conscience helps us to line up with Him, to differentiate between right and wrong, and to be one with the Lord is to be able to experience Him as the one who can justify or condemn something based upon the sense in our conscience. Look at Roman numeral 2, brothers and sisters. Dealing with the conscience is of great importance in the growth of our Christian life. Just like I got done saying in 1 John, we have life! And praise the Lord, we have this fellowship. And in this fellowship of the divine life, He Himself is light. Through this light, we get exposed. Certain things get manifested. We're able to confess and be cleansed by Him. And the result is more life. What do I want this morning after this message is finished for me and for you? More life! Because we're able to see in a good, healthy way, the function of our conscience, which is very, very critical for the growth of our Christian life. Now, the conscience is the leading part of our spirit. God always comes to our spirit by touching our conscience. What's John 4:24? God is spirit, and those who worship Him. What's worship mean? Prostunio in Greek means run forward and kiss. Worship is not waving at a distance. Worship means intimacy. God is spirit. Amen. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truthfulness, in reality. And the key leading part of our spirit in our enjoying the Lord, genuinely worshiping Him, is our conscience. Now, B, to keep a good conscience, to keep a good and pure conscience is to keep the conscience sensitive in its function. It's possible, brothers and sisters, it's possible as believers to harden ourselves. It's possible as believers to become calloused related to our conscience where there's no healing. This is tragic. A huge key to our growth in life is a good conscience. So we really need, brothers and sisters, we need to take care of a good conscience. To keep a good and pure conscience is to keep the conscience sensitive in its function. A good conscience is a conscience without offense. Now, 1 Timothy 1:19, I hope you would all look at that verse. 1 Timothy 1:19. It says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having thrust away have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. This is touched later on in the outline. This is a key to us being able to sail on. Sail on! in a good way in the Christian life. It also may be a factor of becoming shipwrecked. Because of not taking care of our conscience, we may be experiencing shipwreck. In other words, hitting something. Or having something penetrate the ship. Our ship of our Christian life, our journeying, has a leak. Therefore, the result is a wreck. So we need to keep a good and a pure conscience so that we could be able to go on in a good way, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having thrust away, have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. So, brothers and sisters, holding faith is subjective faith. That means our believing. Holding faith. You know, 1 Timothy 1, 4, many of you are memorizing that verse. What's the end of it? The end of it is God's economy, which is in faith. Right? We don't want to take care of any nonsensical teaching. We want to take care of the unique, healthy teaching, which is the economy of God, which is in faith. So, brothers and sisters, to be in God's economy means to be in the experience of Christ moment by moment, in the dispensing of God in Christ as the wonderful Spirit, in the enjoyment of Him all the time. We want to be in this experience and enjoyment all the time. So we want to be holding faith. But a big key to holding faith, going on in God's economy in faith, is a good conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience. Our faith may have a means to leak out because we do not take care of our conscience. So I appreciate how these two go together. A good conscience is a conscience without offense. Then a pure conscience is a conscience purified from any mixture. In that first letter, number one, brothers and sisters, there's Acts 24:16, which I was quoting earlier. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, that I would not become shipwrecked. I would give no room for leakage. I would be able to go on strongly in God's economy, which is in faith. Amen. And this allows us not to become shipwrecked regarding the faith, which is what we believe in concerning God's economy, which is full of nothing but Christ. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we need a good conscience. This is without offense. And we need a pure conscience. This means purified from any mixture. Good means no offense. Pure means simple, absolute, pure. No mixture. We need both a good conscience and a pure conscience. So this is a tremendous exercise of our spirit. Every day to be cleansed from any offense. Every day to be adjusted from any mixture. Two of my favorite verses, brothers and sisters, they're not on the page here. 2 Corinthians 11:2-3. I hope some of you would learn these two verses. But Paul was saying to the Corinthians, I'm jealous over you with the jealousy of God. I have betrothed you. I have engaged you. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are engaged to Jesus.
You are engaged to Jesus.
Amen. I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God. I have engaged you to one husband. We are all engaged to Christ.
Amen.
That I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. That's chapter 11, verse 2. But verse 3, brothers and sisters, is tremendous. But I fear, as the serpent deceived Eve through his craftiness, so your thoughts, brothers and sisters, what's the main thing that Satan's going to use to cause us to be shipwrecked regarding the faith? It's your thoughts. But I fear, as the serpent deceived Eve, corrupting her thoughts, so you would be corrupted from the simplicity and purity toward Christ. Isn't that good? But I fear, even as the serpent deceived Eve through his craftiness, so your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and purity toward Christ. We don't want any mixture. Every day, Lord, we just want you.
Amen.
We want you and you alone, you mixed with nothing. In God's economy, there's only one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for the man!
Amen.
Our conscience operates, brothers and sisters. Isn't that good? Our conscience operates not only related to right and wrong, but related to being pure and single, keeping us focused on Christ our husband. How about we declare, oh Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh Lord Jesus, I love you. And we mean it. In 1 Timothy 3:9, it says, holding the mystery of the faith. What is the mystery of the faith? In a simple way, the mystery of the faith, brothers and sisters, is Christ and the church. Christ and Christ expanded. How do we hold the mystery of the faith? Christ and the church. How? Holding the mystery of the faith, Christ and the church, in a pure conscience. In a pure conscience. If we do not take care of the exercise of our conscience to have a good conscience and a pure conscience, brothers and sisters, we may become shipwrecked. And we may destroy our usefulness. But the Lord's desire is that every one of us would be a useful vessel for the fulfillment of God's economy. Now let's go to Roman numeral 3. The conscience always needs the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. The redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us in our conscience from all sins. Praise the Lord! Anytime we confess our sins, He forgives us and He cleanses us from all sin. It's like I was saying earlier, their sins and their iniquities I'll by no means remember forever. I don't know about you, but I am extremely grateful that every time we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful to forgive, to cleanse, and even it means forget. Wow. Hallelujah for the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Who takes away, takes away.
Amen.
The sin of the world. If we confess our sins, God forgives us and cleanses us. And I hope we would never graduate from 1 John 1:9, which says this. Anybody know this verse by heart? I know somebody does. Huh? Who knows? Okay, would you stand up and speak it? A little louder. Amen. Amen. One more time, we'll say amen every time you pause. A little louder. Amen. 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 From some unrighteousness?
No.
All unrighteousness. Oh, but brothers and sisters, it takes confessing. Definite confessing. This means we need to speak it to the Lord. You know, when two little kids get in a fight with each other, an argument, then maybe the mother gets them together and said, apologize to your sister. And they may do everything except say, I'm sorry. But nothing is forgiven until there's confession. Where there's confession, there's forgiveness. There's cleansing. Hallelujah! So we need to be those who take care of our conscience, have a good conscience by exercising to confess our sins. We should begin a time of confession by opening ourselves to the Lord. Only the Lord Himself is the light and can tell us what to confess. Don't go to anybody here and ask them, what should I confess? We only go to the Lord. He is the light.
Amen.
In Him is light, and He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. A big means of our turning our heart to the Lord is opening to the Lord clearly, turning our heart to confess anything that He has enlightened us about. And then our fellowship with Him can be restored, and the result is more life. I want to be filled with the triune God. A big key to being filled is confession. And these verses in 1 John 1, 5, and 7 are touching this matter right here that we're just mentioning. Number two, according to the truth in God's Word, we should confess certain matters concerning our former manner of life before we were saved. All of our sins and offenses toward God and others, all of our worldly way of living, and our love of the world, and any other matters concerning which our conscience convicts us. Let us open our Bible to 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves report concerning us what kind of entrance we had toward you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God. Brothers and sisters, ask your neighbor a question. Neighbor, what are idols? Give your neighbor an answer. What'd your neighbor say? Anything that replaces Christ. Anything that replaces Christ is an idol. Sometimes the biggest idol is you. We may say, oh, I don't bow down to something, but we may bow down to ourselves. Anything that replaces Christ. We want to turn to God from the idols to serve a living and true God. And in this footnote, brothers and sisters, it's very good, just part of the footnote, 9:1. To turn to God from the idols is to turn away not only from the false gods together with the devil and the demons behind them, but also from all things other than God. Indicating everything other than Christ, other than God Himself, can become an idol, a replacement of Him. Then look further down, it says they should experience Him not only as the object of worship, but also as the all-inclusive supplier who lives in them. Praise the Lord! Brothers and sisters, sometimes our Christian life seems to be a real struggle. But what's the problem? We're missing the supply. Paul said in Philippians 1:19, I know that for me, this prison in Rome, terrible prison, will turn out to salvation. Amen. He wasn't complaining and moaning and groaning. He said, oh, this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of the man of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. If we are supplied, all things turn out to salvation. A big key to being supplied is having a good conscience. Then we can be supplied with Him as the all-sufficient grace. So this is a tremendous point. Now, let's go to letter B, brothers and sisters. The constant cleansing of the Lord's blood maintains our fellowship with God and with one another. Our fellowship with the Lord vertically and our fellowship with each other horizontally is maintained by our confession and by the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord for His blood! Only His blood can forgive me, can cleanse me of all my unrighteousness to the point where their sins and iniquities I will by no means remember forever. This is wonderful. And not only that, He doesn't remember our negative, but He continues to fill us with Himself positively as the eternal life. The blood of Christ purifies our conscience to serve the living God. Amen. How about we read Hebrews 9:14, a very wonderful verse. Hebrews 9:14. Everybody that has it, how about we read it together this time? 9:14. Ready? Go. How much more will the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself serve the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to have this experience not just once, but throughout our lifetime. We want to be exercised in our spirit. And a big exercise is to have a good conscience. So that we could know His cleansing, we could be without blemish before God, our conscience could be purified from dead works, and we could be serving the living God. In other words, serving the living God means we're one with Him. And it doesn't mean we just do things for Him, but we live Him and we serve Him to one another. What do we give to each other? Not dead doctrine, but we give each other the living God. But it begins with the exercise of our conscience, which is a lifelong exercise. This is a big key, brothers and sisters, to our growing in the Christian life. I just thank the Lord for my initial experience. When I heard the gospel many times at one night. My best friend and I, from the time we were kindergarten, this is the end of high school. My best friend and I, by hearing the gospel concerning Christ and all that He did on the cross in the resurrection, and that our need is to believe into Him. By hearing the gospel, I was convicted in my conscience, realized that I was a sinner And at that point in time, my friend and I, one night in his dad's car, we were just alone sitting there in front of his house, and he and I just prayed together in a simple way. There was no earthquake, no lightning, no thunder. But for the first time in our life, we had peace. Because the God of peace came into our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And then I didn't know the terminology, but I began to experience the Lord and enjoy Him some. And one time, I went to my closet and I picked up my baseball glove and I threw the baseball in there. And as I threw it into the mitt, there was a speaking from my conscience. You stole that baseball. And that was exactly right. About 3 years ahead of that, a very good baseball from a very nice department store. And I still remember when it happened. I did it thinking a lot of people were watching me, but I did everything I could with my buddies to kind of get out of the store and was so glad eventually to get home. My conscience was bothering me, but eventually didn't bother me anymore. But now the living God has come into me. And my conscience is freshly activated. And I'm picking up His feeling, the feeling of the divine life that condemns, justifies. So I didn't know what to do. I asked my mom. I called her up to my bedroom, told her what I did. She didn't know many things I've done. Your mom doesn't know either. But I told her what I did. I said, what do I do to take care of this? And she helped me to send a check to the store and to write a note of apology and repentance. And when I did that, oh, I felt the cleansing within. And life was just, the Lord was in me. I didn't even know the term life, but Christ was in me as life flowing. And then as a result of that, brothers and sisters, when the conscience is taken care of, we experience boldness. Boldness related to the gospel. Because there's no leaks. There's no leak. And the very one who is the gospel is able to fill us up with Himself. So I had a number of experiences with the football players and other people in the high school. Because of taking care of the conscience, life could flow. Good news could come out. So taking care of our conscience is much related to the gospel. When we're right with the Lord and we're right with each other according to the Lord, we become the walking embodiment of good news. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, we have boldness.
Amen.
And we are not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
One of the things that keeps us from any shame is taking care of our conscience. Now, faith and a good conscience go together. Those who thrust away a good conscience become shipwrecked regarding the faith. We were looking at that verse before, right? 1 Timothy 1:19. We do not want to become shipwrecked. Number one, the word shipwrecked implies that the Christian life and the church life are like a ship sailing on a stormy sea. Remember Paul in Acts 27? He was being taken as a prisoner to Rome, but almost the whole way was on a stormy sea. We all think, oh, I wouldn't want to be on that boat. But actually, the sentence indicates, what's it say? The church life, the Christian life and the church life are like a ship sailing on a stormy sea. That's if the ship is shipwrecked. The word shipwrecked implies the Christian life and church life are like a ship sailing on a stormy sea. Paul was not on a stormy sea because he was right with God. Everybody else was on the stormy sea and were experiencing nothing but shipwreck. But we can be those in the midst of all kinds of shipwreck who are stable, immovable. Hallelujah! Friends, sisters, I want to ask you, what do you think is the outstanding characteristic of an overcomer? Do you think it's powerful, eloquent, gifted, rich? No. Actually, you know, the outstanding characteristic is steadfast, immovable, faithful, steadfast, regular, immovable, faithful. What keeps us faithful, steadfast, immovable? Taking care of the ship. Whenever there's an offense on our conscience, there will be a leakage, and our faith will leak away. So, brothers and sisters, any offense on our conscience, right away, we want to confess it. As soon as we confess, there's a sealing of the leak. And the faith will not leak out. And if we don't take care of that, some ways we can become like an unbeliever. Ephesians chapter 4, brothers and sisters. Paul was talking about believers. Listen to this. He said, "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind," indicating believers can become like unbelievers, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. What makes the heart hard is an undealt with conscience. Then 19, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness in greediness." Past feeling means we have become calloused. To remain sensitive, keen, full of feeling toward our wonderful all-inclusive Christ who's in us as life. Amen. We want to have a good conscience. Have our conscience exercised so that we would have no leakage. Our faith would not leak away, and we would not become hard toward the Lord. Everybody that wants to remain soft to the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Let's take care of our conscience. B, holding faith and a good conscience is a safeguard to our Christian faith and life. The serving ones in the church must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith, Christ in the church, in a pure conscience. Even when we call on the Lord, brothers and sisters, what do we want? We just want the Lord. I'm not just doing a thing. I want Him. Pure. That's what I call. Whatever we do, the Lord would continue to purify us through our exercise of our spirit and our conscience. The believers are safeguarded from the demonic and hypocritical teaching of deceiving liars by keeping a good and pure conscience. Let's look at those verses, brothers and sisters. That's 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. "But the Spirit says expressly that in later times some will depart from the faith," listen to this, "giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of the demons." Brothers and sisters, today, even Brother Lee mentioned sometimes that we don't see so much of actual demon possession like we did at the time when the Lord was on the earth. But I tell you, what's prevailing today is the teaching of the demons, which is even more subtle. The teaching of the demons, which is to oppose and to distract and to take people away from the teaching of God's economy, from the healthy teaching. So, but the Spirit says expressly that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of the demons, by means of the hypocrisy of men who speak lies, of men who are branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. So the key to never being carried away by the teachings of the demons, or even any teachings other than God's economy, is having a good conscience. Exercise to have a good conscience and a pure conscience toward the Lord. Number three, a good conscience accompanying faith is needed for warring the good warfare against the different teachings in a troubled church life. Let's look at those three verses in conclusion. Chapter 1, verse 3. What's chapter 1, verse 3? Some of you were quoting that when you were up here. Who knows Philippians 1, 3? I mean, 1 Timothy 1, 3. Huh? Okay. Oh, start together in a strong spirit. Go.
Even as I exhorted you.
Amen. 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 Not to teach different things.
Amen.
Better keep going with verse 4.
Lord, to give heed to this, and not any theology, which is questioning, rather than God's economy, which is in
faith. Amen. God's economy. This is the healthy teaching. So we want to be kept from the different teachings. We want to fight the good warfare against the different teachings in a troubled situation. So this is an exercise of the spirit, an exercise of the conscience. And then what's verse 18? 1 Timothy 1:18. 1:18 is... You might war the good warfare, and let's continue with 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, concerning which some... Amen. So, brothers and sisters, holding faith and a good conscience. A big key to holding faith and a good conscience is to remain focused on the unique teaching of God's economy. Never be taken away by any other teaching. So many things that you're touching on internet, on this, that way, magazines, everything is working to take us away from the teaching. The teaching of God's economy, which is the teaching full of Christ, 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 for the body of Christ. This is the unique teaching. Our conscience should be good. It means no offense toward God or others. Our conscience should be pure, meaning we care for Christ and His expansion. That's what we're here for. Our conscience operates both on the realm of being good, a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men, and a pure conscience that cares for what God cares for, His economy. We line up our conscience, our spirit, lines up, says amen to the teaching of God's economy. That's why I treasure this last point. A good conscience accompanying faith is needed for warring the good warfare against the different teachings in a troubled local church. Good, no offenses between us and God and each other. Also, pure means we're single. We want what He wants. We are lining up our Christian life with the teaching of God's economy. Amen. To fill us with Christ by the enjoyment of Christ as the life-giving Spirit, to be the body of Christ consummating in the New Jerusalem. So, brothers and sisters, A big exercise of the Spirit is the exercise of our conscience. So let's open our Bible and read together Acts 24:16, which I quoted a number of times. Let's read this verse together. 24:16. And I hope many of you would memorize this verse too. 24:16. Okay, ready, go. Because of this, amen. How about pray, read that with your neighbor for 30 seconds. Let's be exercised to have a good conscience for the sake of God's economy. Brothers and sisters, I love the focus. The focus is a really healthy summary. Let's read that focus together. Go. A man of God maintains a good conscience in order to grow in life, maintain his fellowship with God and with other believers, amen. Okay, how about everybody just share one sentence you enjoyed, one line you enjoyed, one verse you enjoyed with your neighbor, and then we'll open it up for maybe 15-second testimonies. Okay, go ahead with your neighbor.